Starting Tech News Weekly. In 3, 2, 1.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Tech News Weekly. I'm your host, Andrew Zarian. Of course, I'm joined by Mr. John Bubb. How you doing, John?
Hey, Andrew. What's up?
A lot is happening. If you've been following us here at the GFQ Network, we are having some equipment failure. It's the summer, so this is what happens. Things start heating up.
Destroy equipment is what it is. It's all your fault.
You know what? It's technology, and this is the beauty of having really advanced audio equipment. But, you know,
intermittent audio failures are the best.
Yeah, where you cannot determine what the problem is. That's exactly the best way to kind of troubleshoot is when you have no idea what it is and there's no consistency to the matter. So yeah. That's what we're dealing with. But we are here today. We're here. We're going to talk about everything that's happening in technology. A lot of Microsoft stuff happening. El Capitan, the latest and greatest version of OS 10. Is out for public preview. If you want to download it, you can go ahead and download it, test it out, see how it is. iOS 9 is also out. We're going to talk about all of this, but before we do that, I want to thank a sponsor of ours, and that's Braintree. Oh my gosh, what can I say about Braintree? Well, this is the great thing about Braintree. If you're a developer, if you're a business owner, and you are looking to accept mobile payments via an application, Braintree is the way to go. What they do, it's a very simple piece of code, couple lines of code. You put it in your program, you put it in your website, whatever the case is, and you don't have to worry about accepting all these different payment methods. You could do PayPal, Apple Pay, Bitcoin, every major credit card, all different currencies. Comes with unbelievable fraud protection. Not frog protection, John. Fraud protection.
Oh, thank God.
Great customer service, really fast payouts also. I have a buddy, he has a clothing line here, and he is creating a mobile app, and he asked me about Braintree, and he goes, what do you know about Braintree? I go, what do I know about Braintree? It's unbelievable, and they're also a PayPal company, so you know that they're pretty reliable. Go check them out. You know, if you're a developer or if you have a business, go to this website. Go to BraintreePayments.com right now, BraintreePayments.com/TNW. Go there right now. Check it out. You can sign up. It's not going to cost you anything. The first $50,000 in transactions are fee-free. Doesn't cost you a dime. Talk to your developer. Talk to the business owner. Talk to the person you're developing for. And let them know about Braintree because it's unbelievable. BraintreePayments.com/TNW. John develops our website. He develops a lot of stuff for us. And anything to make his life easier, he's into. By the way, companies like Uber, Airbnb, Hotel Tonight, Living Social, the list goes on and on. These are major companies all using the Braintree payment solution. BraintreePayments.com/TNW is the website. First $50,000 in transactions are fee-free. And I want to thank Braintree for supporting the GFQ Network and, of course, supporting Tech News Weekly. So, John, let's talk about Microsoft.
Oh, boy, Microsoft.
Microsoft.
You don't say. We're going to talk about Microsoft?
You're going to talk about Microsoft. You want to send yourself a little bit in that shot? There you go.
I broke my cam.
Yeah, it might have been. A lot's happening in the world of Microsoft right now. We are very, very close to the Windows 10 RTM. Release to manufacturers, for people who don't know what RTM is, meaning Dell and HP and all these companies are going to get their master copy, and they're going to start installing it and playing with it and testing it and using all this stuff. Any day now, we're waiting. And we are less than 2 weeks away from the release date. Or no, a little over 2 weeks away from the release date for the mass population for Windows 10. And we are getting some interesting information about Windows Phone and their Windows Phone division. Pretty much, it's a bust. It's a total failure. They are writing off over $7 billion. $7.6 billion from that Nokia acquisition.
God, so I wish I had that kind of money.
The entire thing is...
could you imagine if GFQ could write off $7.6 billion?
I wish I could write off $7.6. I mean, they're also cutting jobs. 7,800 jobs. I think they're well over 20,000 jobs now that they've cut since the Nokia acquisition. Stephen Nelop was one example of a guy that came over and a guy that left. So this is interesting what's happening here. The Windows Phone division is getting smaller and smaller as we speak. They have very small market saturation, under 2%. And that 2% is a margin. There is a margin of error there, 2%. In some markets in Europe, we're talking in almost 10%, some emerging markets in Europe. So it's up and down. But the whole goal right now with Microsoft and Windows Phone is that they are going to streamline their products, meaning they're only going to have about three phones. They're going to cut down on how many phones that they're releasing every year. Obviously, they're going to have their flagship. They're going to have their emerging market and their entry-level phone. And, of course, they're going to have a business phone. This is not a bad thing, John.
Well, this is something that I don't quite understand. Is that they say, you said in the article that they're going to cut down on the number of phones that they release.
Yes.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, they're not releasing enough.
Well, no, they're releasing way too much. They're releasing...
not here in North America, they're not.
No, and that's their problem. They're releasing the 730, 735, 830, 835.
They release these low-end, crappy phones in other countries, but they've really taken a backseat here in North America in terms of the market. And that's my biggest problem, I think, is that I'm fine with them wanting to refocus. They need to refocus it because what they've been doing for the last 2 years is basically laying really low. And the problem with laying really low is that you end up with the same problem that BlackBerry had, where you're just not doing enough to continue your market share, and people will just start writing you off. Just like they wrote off Nokia, people are writing off Windows Phone because they're not releasing any flagship devices here in the United States, or at least not enough. So my whole problem with this is they need more. And they do say that they're going to have three areas where they're targeting. They're going to target businesses, the low-end consumer market, and finally come out with some flagship devices. But I remain really skeptical given their history for the past couple of years.
Yeah, and here's how I see this. They need to streamline what they're doing. They need to figure out, are we going to be a phone brand that's only catering to the lower end of the market? Do we want to enter the higher end? There's no hope in overtaking iOS and Android. That will never happen.
No, that's fine for them to admit that, and I think that's very much true, is that there's no way that they're going to end up even moving up a spot. Yes, they're like a third tier right now behind Android and iPhone, but they're never going to overtake either one of those.
Yeah, and the philosophy of this company needs to figure out what they are. Are they a services brand? I know that they don't want to be in the manufacturing business. They don't want to really make phones, but they're making them anyway. And a lot of this has to do with the fact that they are in a weird position where, yeah, we have not got any flagships. I understand why we haven't. That's because Windows 10 is coming out, and it would kind of be silly to release a flagship phone with Windows 10 arriving in a couple months when all your attention should be on making sure that Windows 10 for phone is what people need. And you know what? That's been slow, too. They're pretty behind in this.
But I think the problem with that strategy, though, is that they haven't done a very good job of releasing good flagship devices here in the United States, period. So you've really gone a couple of years where they've really have not been very successful.
The 1520 was their last good device, really good device. And the iPod.
Yeah, really didn't push that, and they've had a lot of issues with the carriers. I know this is not all Microsoft's fault. They've had issues with carriers themselves, but the perception is that neither Microsoft nor the carriers have any interest in flagship devices here in the United States. That's what it comes down to. And because there's been such a long period of time, gaining their ground back is going to be nearly impossible, I think.
Yeah, so how do they do it? You know, what do they do with this?
I think even Paul said this yesterday on What the Tech, is that Windows Phone is basically a failure.
Yeah. And I think their
focus is on the lower end device, which is fine. But I think it's kind of a cop out of what we had hopes for with Windows Phone and Microsoft, especially when they acquired Nokia. We had a lot of expectations, and nothing really ever materialized out of that deal.
So, with this happening now, the next year for Windows Phone is going to be really interesting, and it really has to do with what they announce in October for a new phone. That's going to play a major part. Now, I don't think we're going to get a major exodus of Android and iOS users jumping ship to go to Windows Phone, but the timing is appropriate for some people to test it out, considering there's a new operating system, a new phone, new streamline feature all across every Microsoft product. The services division is great. So there is some incentive to go over, but we're not going to see this be a major contender in any way. But it could be a nice third-place phone.
It could be, but I remain very skeptical. I really don't. I think there's going to be those diehard Windows Phone fans, and I think that's pretty much all you're going to have here in North America.
Yeah.
That's all Windows Phone is ever going to amount to here in North America is diehard fans.
Yeah.
You don't have enough support from the carriers, and you don't have enough flagship devices coming out from Microsoft.
Now, if there was a flagship, John, that you liked visually, right? I mean, they're all the same overall. But if you saw this phone, you're like, wow, that's a beautiful phone. Would you go over being an iOS user?
It's a tough call given the fact that carriers have been very unwilling to support anything with Windows Phone.
Forget about the carrier. I'm talking about your personal preference with these phones, with the next version. Is there any chance that you would consider that you would go over?
I would consider it, but my problem is long-term support. Is the carrier going to provide any support after a year of the device?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is Microsoft going to provide any updates after a year, if any at all? Am I going to have to go on my own and get the update for a device? Because that's been one of the other problems with Windows Phone is getting an update for the device.
Well, isn't that the problem with every phone except for the iPhone? Right? I mean, that's pretty much it. That's almost every single phone company, that's every single manufacturer has that problem except for iOS. Where they, you don't know if you're getting an update. Some phones get it on some carriers, but you don't know. At least with Windows Phone, you could join that beta program, you could join that developer program, and kind of force an upgrade if you really wanted to. Yeah, most people are not going to do that, but it's still an option for you when it comes to Windows Phone. To kind of go back to what I was saying, someone like you, John. Mm-hmm. And you're that enthusiast, you're that diehard, right, that follows this. I'm an enthusiast, I'm a diehard. If I wasn't doing this show, if I wasn't talking about this, I most likely would not be using a Windows phone. I probably wouldn't be using Android. I'd probably be using iOS. I'd like being in every ecosystem. I wouldn't be using Android. I would probably have an iPhone 6 Plus, and I'd be happy as a clam. Like, I wouldn't even consider going someplace else. It is a very group of minority computer users that will jump ship. So we don't know. I don't know. So, John, why don't you go into another story here?
I don't know if you saw this hacking team hack this week. It's been kind of a big story, but kind of underground because it's a little bit technical and a little bit out there. So there's this hacking team, which is an Italian company that sells intrusion and surveillance tools to governments and law enforcement agencies. They include a lot of other countries out there towards the India way, Europe, and those type of countries. And they're very notorious for not being very nice and just having a very bad reputation of intruding on privacy and whatnot. Apparently, somebody really hacked the crap out of them this week and stole basically every piece of information that they had on their computer systems whatsoever.
Wow, you're talking about 400 gigs of internal documents, source codes, email communication, and to the public at large. There's a torrent file.
Basically,
available.
They published a torrent with 400 gigabytes of internal documents, source code, and email communications. Basically, publishing everything about the company, all their source code, and they've discovered even more exploits for their software, and just it's very bad news for them.
Yeah, listen,
this is a hacking company, a company that actually hacks people for a living, and they got hacked.
Yeah, that's hysterical. There's a lot, by the way, that reminded me. There's some weird stuff happening this week with a lot of these companies. I'm having some issues with John here. I'm trying to bring it back, so hang tight. For a company to get hacked, a hacking company to get hacked, and by the way, they're a surveillance company more than anything else. That's what they're called. 400 gigs of all this information is now released, but this kind of goes into hand-in-hand with what's happening over the last week with the New York Stock Exchange halting trading. It was United.
TD Ameritrade had a issue this morning
and they
as
went
well.
Down. Yeah. There's some, can we feed into this conspiracy that something is happening? I mean, I would like to feed into this conspiracy. I don't know if it's a coincidence. I don't know if we could say
it's
that.
It's interesting that that all these things kind of happen at the same time. Nobody says that there was any sort of terrorist attack or any sort of hacking going on, but it's just weird that it all happened at the same time. And I think we're kind of reaching a limit of technology where it's so ubiquitous now where there's going to be failures. But the real problem are hacks, actual hacks.
Yeah.
And we saw this over the past month with the Office of Personnel Management, our own United States government being hacked, and basically the Chinese government taking every piece of information from the Office of Personnel Management. Social Security numbers, anybody that ever
addresses,
had a background check.
Addresses, everything. Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a scary thing that all this information is vulnerable. The Chinese stock exchange, the stock market dropped like 30 points, 30%.
I think we're living in a time right now where this is just inevitable and everybody's going to be hacked. It's just the way it is. We don't take security seriously enough for anything to be really done about this. Your best bet is probably just to have fraud protection regardless, because sooner or later, you're going to be hacked. Somebody with your information is going to hack their database, their company, whatever company you shopped at. They're going to have some sort of data breach, and your information is going to get stolen. That's just the society that we live in now, and we just don't seem to have any way to protect ourselves.
It's happening. I mean, when we – it just – there's no – this is how wars are going to be fought. And the future of war, the future of battle, this is what's going to happen. We're not going to drop bombs. We're going to destroy your infrastructure. We're going in the digital sense. You're going to see countries, I mean, China losing 30% on their stock market. I'm not saying that it's a hack. I'm not saying it's anything like that. But if it was, this is a prime example of how these wars are going to be fought. Infrastructure, any kind of management, military information, all this stuff is, if it's in a document, if it's on a network, it is hackable.
Pretty much.
It is totally possible that this could happen.
And we're entering that age of Internet of Things now, too, where we're running everything, any device to be connected, our fridge, our stove. Even our doorbell we want to have connected to the internet.
Yeah, but your doorbell is connected.
It was, yeah, at one point.
It was at one point. And then it sucked, so you returned it.
Yeah, which I'll be publishing in a review as soon as I get a refund.
Do you want to, very smart, John, do you want to go into another story?
No, because I can't hear you right now.
Yeah, he cannot hear me right now. That's hysterical. So what we are doing right now, we are guessing what the other one is going to say. I mean, this is just amazing that this is happening with this.
Let's see. We could go into the Logitech changing its name story, which is a somewhat of an interesting story. I know you brought this up, or actually saw this yesterday when the news broke, that Logitech is changing its name to Logi because, quote, tech means nothing anymore.
Well, yeah.
And I'm not sure I like the new name, Logi.
Well, they're not totally dropping it, right? It's going to be a transition of a name.
Yeah, which makes me think that they're not exactly sure about the new name either.
Yeah, that's exactly what it means. What I could just see it, you know, it's a meeting happening. People saying like, okay, listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to call it Logi, but we're not 100% on this. We want to see what happens. So what we're going to do, we're going to brand Logi on all our devices, but we're still going to call it Logitech. And let's see if it works, it works. If it doesn't, know well, we can always go back.
I have absolutely no problem with the new logo. I actually dig the new logo. I think the new logo looks sweet. I think the rebrand of their logo is the best thing that they've done. I don't really care for the Logi name. It doesn't quite roll off the tongue as nicely as Logitech. And I don't know that it really necessarily lends to their brand whatsoever. They mean they want to, I guess, expand to more stuff because tech is just ubiquitous now. And I understand that, but when you just say Logi, it just doesn't quite have the same understanding as I would when somebody says Logitech.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that the brand, I don't know if you know what, I know a lot of people that already call it Logi and they don't call it Logitech. I mean, it's just a common thing when with branding. I mean, I guess enough people have called it Logi where people now at the company are like, well, I think we should go with that. Logi is a chia pet, apparently. According to Nikki. Hey, we're gonna end the show a little bit early today, but before I do that, I just want to mention that if you are a Mac user, the latest version of OS 10 is available for public preview. It's a beta, so be careful. You could sign up with Apple and get the latest version, and they've already pushed a couple updates out. So if you want to do that, you can go ahead and do that. I am waiting, however, because I did that public preview with the last version. And let me tell you, it was not very easy. It was not very easy to manage on an everyday computer. There were a lot of bugs here and there. So I would wait another month until they work some of these bugs out.
I would never do a beta like this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Especially the first beta.
Especially the first beta. Wait a couple. Wait a little bit, guys, and do it. Also, iOS 9 is out, and a lot of people are excited about iOS 9 because you could do, you know, multitasking on there, and you could do a split view where you can see video within certain apps. It's a lot of good stuff in there. So I just wanted to make that announcement. But I am going to end the show because John and I cannot hear each other. We are guessing what the other one is saying. You know what, John?
Pretty
that
much.
Says a lot about us, that we have been doing the show for so long that we don't even have to hear each other. We could just go based on each other's cues.
Like I said, we're just going to start a new form of podcast where it's a throwback to the silent film era where nobody actually talks. It's just all little bubbles and captions.
That's what we're going to do. See, here's the thing. I could hear John. John cannot hear me. John is just reading my lips. John has a special skill where he can read lips.
What's that? You want some more beer?
Yeah, see? Works perfectly fine. Go to website, gfqnetwork.com. A little short of a show this week, but next week we'll be back to our regular time frame for the show. Hopefully all our shows will be back as scheduled. I'm going to turn this thing off, and it's dead again. So... We'll see
I'm basically just reading your lips right now.